Welcome them.
I think I missed George's fist bump. Was he walking like this towards me? Sorry, George. Okay, good evening. How are you guys? The high schoolers are a little bit more lively than this. Third service. Okay, well, if you would open your Bibles tonight to Nehemiah, and we're gonna use Nehemiah as a little bit of an outline to talk about a very needed to be talked about subject, which is how to handle technology. Okay, so how many of you guys have children? Like almost everyone in here, even the kids are raising their hands. So, how many of you guys have technology? Like everyone in here, right? Okay. So some of you are using your technology right now, and you're being disciplined not to look at, you know, what's on sale on Amazon, right, while the Bible study is going on. So this is important. This, I think, is not only going to help you with your children or your grandchildren, it will help you personally. And so we're open to Nehemiah. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for this time to gather around your word. And Lord, as we travel back in time to Nehemiah and see, Lord, how he dealt with an issue in his day, Lord, may we be able to apply it to an issue in our day. Though it's not a physical wall that needs to be built, it surely is a spiritual wall. And maybe it's a wall for our technology, Lord, that we might protect our homes. So we surrender to you tonight. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what we're doing in this two-part message is really what's known as a campaign here at our church, and that is through our at-home ministry. At-home ministry is a little building right outside your right side out here, my left side, and there's a little house-looking thing that's been attached to the side of the church, and it's really nice inside. There's a lot of resources in there for you and your family, and if you're sitting in here, you may say, well, I don't have little children. But again, if you have grandchildren or if you know somebody with children, then this is an opportunity for you. You could stop in there and pick up some resources to give to them. And tonight, I'm going to give you some resources. The title of the message, if you're taking notes, is Connected 3D. Connected 3D. I know you're thinking, what kind of title is that for a message? Well, it goes along with our campaign, as you'll see here in a moment. I'm going to list three main points for you this evening and then some subpoints that you can take away with you. But as we've opened to Nehemiah, we're in chapter 1, verse 1. The first thing we need to do as it comes to technology in our own lives or in our children's lives or our grandchildren's lives is we need to identify the problem. Verse 1 of Nehemiah says, it came to pass in the month of Chislev in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates burned with fire. Now, you can go on and read in your own and see Nehemiah went and he traveled around and he saw the wall. He surveyed the wall for himself and he realized there's a lot of holes in the wall. The gates had been burned with fire. There was, in essence, no way to protect the city. And so just starting there and launching into how we can deal with this in our own homes is first, we need to identify the problems in our home. And there is problems in our home, but I just want to make a couple things clear. Number one, I think Pastor David said this last week, technology itself is not evil. You know, it's not like, here's my phone. It's not going to kill anybody. It's just a piece of technology. What I do with it will determine if it's then being used for good or for evil. You know, I can use it to organize my life. There's a great many apps. I happen to love technology. I think it's great because last week you heard from Pastor David. For the most part, he hates technology. He uses it. I mean, there's a right place for it. I grew up loving technology. I remember getting my first Watchman TV when I was, in sixth grade, seventh grade. I can't remember when it came out. It was a little black and white TV. You guys probably remember. The kids are like, a what? What's a black and white TV? As a matter of fact, we watched a movie recently. It was in black and white. And my son goes, it's so annoying it's in black and white. The problem isn't technology. The problem is how much time we spend using our technology. And by the way, just so you don't think this is just a problem with teenagers, I'm going to give you mostly teenager facts, but if I was to give you all the facts regarding the research that's been done about technology and its usage, I'll just let you know this. For example, the iPhone is unlocked 80 times a day by the average iPhone user. That includes all of you in this room if you have an iPhone. How many of you guys have iPhones, by the way? How many of you guys have Androids? Way less. It's not just how much time that all the Android users are. That's it, I'm out of here. Yeah. It's not just how much time, but it's also how we use our devices. Identifying the problem, time spent, or time wasted, rather. The Washington Post found teens are spending more than one-third of their days using media such as online video or music, nearly 9 hours on average, according to a new study from Family Technology Education nonprofit group Common Sense Media. For tweens, those between the ages of 8 and 12, the average is nearly 6 hours per day. I remember when I was a kid, I think 5 or 6 hours a day of TV watching, that was astronomical. Because if you think about it, we weren't taking our TV with us everywhere we went. Although I was when I got my Watchman TV. So the hours of watching TV would go up. But you remember back in those days, you didn't have things like this where you could literally watch TV on your phone. You can listen to music. You can play games. You can keep in touch through so many social media apps and texting apps that it's not even funny. But so the average time now is way beyond what it should be. So here's the study breakdown. 8 hours and 40 minutes for those 11 to 14 and just under 8 hours, 15 to 18 years old. So the time changes. Now, Forbes magazine also broke those numbers down because three major sources did research on this and they all found the same to be true. And it says in Forbes magazine, let's break those numbers down a bit. There are few among tween teens. Now, tween would be junior high and right prior to high school and then high school. And only 6% don't use any screen media. 28% of tweens and 17% of teens use it for 2 hours or less. 27% of tweens and 31% of teens use it between 48 hours a day. And 11% of tweens, 26% of teens are in front of a screen more than 8 hours a day. What's more, a huge portion of that time is spent with mobile devices. Mobile devices are now accounting for 41% of all screen time among tweens and 46% among teens. That's just these, okay? That's not counting other stuff. I want to give you one video game statistic, and then we're mostly going to move past the statistics, okay? This is just enough to show you there is a huge problem that we need to deal with. Call of Duty. How many of you guys know what Call of Duty is? Yeah, look around. How many of you guys? Now, I was surprised. I have taken little polls up in the high school ministry, and I found out, and I thought Call of Duty was primarily a guy's game. And when I said something like that, the girls all flipped out and said, no, we play too. I was like, you're all busted now. So listen to this. A staggering 25 billion hours, or the equivalent of 2.85 million years, have been spent playing just Call of Duty. It's a wonderful, it's a fun game, right? Am I saying, oh my gosh, run into your room, your kid's room, and get that device and smash it on the ground? No, but I am saying you really need to monitor how much time they're playing these things. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Supervision. A recent poll taken found that 95% of teenagers have unrestricted internet access on their mobile device. You want to know where that was? In our high school room. I don't want to have to say it. I'm not saying this to be mean. Please don't take this as mean. Please take it as a wake-up call. Their parents are sitting in here. 95%, and I am not exaggerating. I asked twice. The second time I asked, was with the junior high ministry present. It was a Sunday morning. Now, you say, well, good, thank God, because my kids don't come on Sunday morning. They only come on Wednesday. But 95% have unrestricted internet access, meaning they can see whatever they want on their mobile device that's with them 24/7. I find more students that will come to me and tell me, Shadrach, I have a problem. And you know what that problem is. You know where it's going. Straight to porn. Straight to porn. Because this is a huge temptation. And we're not giving them the necessary resources. That's why this is so important. Can I plead with you tonight? Can I plead with you? You may think this doesn't apply to me. You might be tempted. And I've already seen a couple people go, I'm out of here. They're not going to give us the Bible tonight. Absolutely, we're going to give you the Bible. The sons of Issachar, they knew the times, didn't they? And they knew what the people should do. Are you listening to the Spirit? Are you listening to the Spirit speak? Sunday morning, it was loud and clear through Ray Comfort. Man, like a megaphone being blasted to the church. We have gotten away from the Word of God. The Word of God is entirely abandoned in our homes. I'm going to give you some practical things tonight, but this is where we have to take back ground. This is a serious issue. We've got to take it back. We've got to take it back. We've got to take it back carefully. We don't want to exasperate our children, but we also can't allow them to go on and just have unrestricted internet access. Microsoft asked 1,000 adults, both parents and non-parents, how old is too young for kids to go online unsupervised? Do you know what the answer was? 8. 8 years old. 1,000 adults. They thought it would be fine for an 8-year-old. Maybe that's too young. 9. Okay, 9. Now, the reality is there's many that go online and there is no restriction. 94% of parents said they allow their kids unsupervised access to at least one device or online service like email or social networks. The poll found that most parents allow their kids access to gaming consoles and computers at age 8. Let me ask you a question. And if you're watching, would you allow your kid at 7, 8, 10 years old, even 18, to go unsupervised to downtown LA? Would you? No way! You say no way, because any sensible parents, matter of fact, I've taken students to Fred Jordan Mission. I have parents go, nope, you're not going. But they're like, here, have all the internet access you want. I'm like, I think you might have those reversed. I'm not the Lord or the Holy Spirit, but you might have those reversed. It's a lot safer for them to come when the Lord is saying, go down there and feed the homeless, right? Than to be looking at who knows what on the internet. Now, before you say my child would never, I want to share a little quick story with you, and we're going to move on. I did have a parent a number of years ago, before Wi-Fi was really anything, tell me, my child would never. I got one of those my child would never stories, right? And what happened was that parent came back to me sometime later, and they said, you know, I feel so foolish. I told you my child would never. And what they had found was that their child had very craftily, and I don't even know where they got this length of cord, but they had gone from their computer down the wall, under the carpet, down the hall, into the parents' room, up behind the dresser, plugged into the internet behind the wall. This was way back when, there was AOL Online? It's like almost that far back, right? 13 years ago, when I started the high school ministry, we were in the little warehouse up the street, and only one or two students had cell phones. I remember when texting became a thing. I remember when I got the first phone that texted, and students started texting me. I was like, why are you texting me? Call me. That's what I remember. Now I'm like, just text me. You know, as I, much easier in a text. You're like, okay, you know, conversation could be like 2 hours, you know, text is like 3 seconds, you know. But that's the world they live in, and we're in a completely different world now than we were then. So the first thing we need to do is identify the problem. See, once you've identified the problem, then you know how to pray. You might need to pray, Lord, help me to identify the problem, and then pray, okay, now that I have identified the problem, now I've got to take action on the problem. Look at verse 4 of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah hears what's happened, look at what he does immediately. It says, when I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for many days. Oh, that we would sit down and weep and mourn for the condition of our country. Yeah. That we would sit down and weep and mourn for the condition of our children. That we would desire the spiritual things more than anything else. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel. It could be the children of Shadrach. It could be the children of whatever your name is. Your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. The shoot, ready, aim tactic won't work. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, pow, ready, aim, you know, blasting your kids with both barrels. Because, see, there's a tendency to knee-jerk reaction. You realize, oh my gosh, there's this thing happening. And then, you know, you go in and you start ripping stuff out. And you got to be careful not to do that. I'll show you an example of that in just a little bit. But Ephesians 6:4 says, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. We really aren't going to do them any justice if we just strip them of technology and strip them of TV and strip them of all that stuff. We're not going to do them any justice because we're actually not teaching them how to use it rightfully. That's why it's important that you set a good example. That whole do as I say, don't do as I do concept of parenting does not work. If you allow, like for example, you allow social media or you allow yourself to listen to secular music, within reason, those same things are going to be, need to be even with your children. And what do I mean by that? Well, if I said to my kids, no secular music, and then I'm listening to secular music, what am I? A hypocrite. But do you know over the years how many parents I've had kids come tell me? My mom and dad told me not to listen to any secular music. Bach, Beethoven, Mozart. Nope, I can only listen to Chris Tomlin. While the parents driving around listening to, you know, whoever, you know, the Rolling Stones was really cool when I was a kid, you know. And so you can't have that. Now, I understand that there is a mature level. And depending on the age of your kids, that's going to have to play into being a factor. You can't just like, oh, well, I listen to some secular music that's neutral. You know what I'm saying? And so I got to let my kid who's 4 listen to. You know, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you need to use wisdom. But you are the one that's going to set the example. See, what I'm talking about is caught, not just taught. When you say it, you've got to do it. When you say it, you've got to do it. Look, I've interviewed parents for 13, I told you for 13, I'm going to just be a harp on 13 years, right? And I'm not telling you because that means I know anything. I'm still raising my own kids. I got 2 in high school, 1 in junior high, and 1 in elementary school. You're like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Man, that dude's busy. We are busy. Plus I got, you know, however many other hundreds of high school students that are also my adopted kids. So I'm running around with them too. Like, what are you doing? What are you into? Why are you into that? What's the new thing? Snapchat. You know, I lovingly dubbed it Snap Devil. Because I just told them. I said, you know, there's some stuff that you, and I tell them, you guys, you know, I love you. I don't have a Snapchat. I actually got rid of all my social media because I found out that I spent too much time on it. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. And what I found is I got rid of it all. And then I found out, now I tried, you know, I was like, oh, maybe I'll get it back on, you know, see what the kids are doing. When the kids, I mean kids, I mean your kids, not my kids. I know what my kids are doing. I walk in their bedroom and see what they're doing, you know. But what I was like, want to see what your kids are doing, you know. And I put it back on and I was like, I hate it. And then I deleted it. I was like, oh, I'll give it another shot. I put it back on. I was like, no, I still hate it. And I deleted it again. We use it for the high school ministry, but I don't know. I haven't got to put it back on yet myself. But pray that God would give you wisdom and direction with that. And then you need to build a wall. You need to build a wall. And that's where we come in with Connect 3D. We'll look at 3 more verses here. Well, not 3 verses. We're going to look at 3 more sections of verses here from Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Nehemiah is letting the word known that there's a problem, and he says in verse 17, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste. Its gates are burning with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he spoke to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. Now, you know what's cool? If you go read chapter 3, chapter 3 is one of those chapters you read and you're like, and so-and-so was next to so-and-so, who was next to so-and-so, and then, you know, on and on. It's almost like a genealogy. And you're like, ah. But you know what's cool? When you read it, it is so-and-so is next to so-and-so is next to. They're doing it together. You got to get with your kids and do this together. You've got to help them see the importance of doing this for their own lives. I will tell you, most students realize that social media is way out of control in their own life, and they don't know how to control it. They don't know how. It's impossible. Their brains can't wrap around how to actually post and get off or whatever. They don't know how to do it. It's just kind of, it's always there. It's always in their hand, you know. And what is our society? You go to a coffee shop anywhere around the city, and what do you see? You see 24 people standing in line like this. We're standing in a coffee shop the other day. We went to the Anaheim Stadium, or Angel Stadium. Siri corrected me. It's awful getting corrected by Siri. Directions to Anaheim Stadium. Here's the directions, Shadrach, to Angel Stadium, or whatever it said, right? So we're over there near, you know, we stop at a coffee shop, go to Harvest Leader Luncheon to find out, you know, all the information for the upcoming Harvest Crusade. And I'm sitting in the coffee shop looking around, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. I stopped a long time ago, because you know what it is? We don't want to talk. We don't want to look around, so we just pull out our phone and we pretend to be doing something, so we really don't have to talk to anybody else. Isn't it convenient? When we want to ignore people, we're like, I don't want to talk to anybody. It doesn't have to be on. You just walk around. Or pretend you're in a conversation. Hey, oh, you know, I'd love to talk to you, but I got to go. You know what I'm saying? You guys, some of you are not laughing. You're like, oh, I do that. So I said, what would they do? You know, someone comes in here and starts shooting the place up, you know, and they, no one, what would the guy look like? I don't know. Matt, my assistant, goes, no, they would all turn around with their phones and start videotaping. And I was like, yeah, you're right. The world is filled with just this narcissistic behavior where people, they will not step in to help somebody. They will stand and videotape them, get clubbed to death, right? Nehemiah 4:17, those who built in the wall, those who carried the burdens or loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction, with the other hand they held a weapon. Why'd they have to hold a weapon? Because the enemy was coming in and trying to stop the work, which is exactly what's going to happen if you try to do any of this. The enemy's going to come in and there's going to be problems. The internet is laden with YouTube videos that you can watch of kids throwing absolute tantrums when they get their devices removed from them. Turn the speakers all the way off because the cussing will come along too. 10 years old, 12 years old, 18 years old, losing it because you're taking away their technology. And again, I'm not advocating you ripping it out of their hands. You're the one that gave it to them. You're going to have to do a little hostage negotiation probably. But they worked together. Chapter 6, verse 15, I love this. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when all of our enemies heard it. And all the nations around us saw these things. They were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Isn't that what you want your neighbors to see? That the work going on in your home is the Lord? Isn't that what you want? Everywhere you go, you're a light shining Christ. So Nehemiah identified the problem. The city needed a wall. Our families need a spiritual wall of protection. So you had homework last week. I know because I watched Pastor David's message. And his question for you was, you are going to go home and find out what your family time was like. Can I just survey you? I'm waiting for an answer. I don't know if Pastor Jack asks questions and you guys don't answer. I know you do because I sit in here for a service, right? How many of you guys did that? How many of you guys went home? What does family time look like? Great, three of you. What influence does technology have in your family? So it starts with you, as I said. So number one, here's the first part of the 3D campaign. Disconnect. Disconnect. Okay, I put here, take us out of warp, Mr. Sulu. We're going way too fast. We got too much going on. And if it's not technology, it's sports. The average family does not have time for God. We need to make time for God. God has to be the priority. God has to be the priority. Family time is important. So on here, one of the things that you'll see is a tech-free zone. And I've got little cards here. We'll talk about those more in a moment. Tech-free zones. Here's some areas in your home or places that can be tech-free zones. Number one, your child's bedroom should be a tech-free zone. No TVs, no Xbox, no PlayStation, no computers, no phones, no iPads. You're like, my kid will light the house on fire. Trust me, they won't. Trust me, they won't. Do you know that we all have these perceptions of what the other one's going to do? Your kids, and you remember this from when you were a kid, but your kids think, if you find out that they were looking at pornography, what do they think you're going to do? They think you're going to kill them. And I had to tell them, listen, in all the time I've been here, I've never done a funeral for a student that was actually murdered by their parent. At least that could be proved. So we all kind of have that, okay? Number two, the dinner table. The dinner table. You shouldn't have phones at the dinner table. You don't need phones at the dinner table. You don't need iPads at the dinner table. Drive time. You know, I remember when one of my sons, when we would get in the car, he tried a couple of times to put in his headphones, and I said, you take those headphones out of your head, or I will take them out of your head. We're going to drive and talk. Because I don't like seeing, you know, the other kids that get in the car and the headphones go in their ears. If I drive on a youth event, no headphones, no kids are getting headphones. At camp, we remove. You know why they come back from camp excited? Because we took away all their media. Pastor Jack asked me last time he was at our camp. He said, did you take all their cell phones away? I said, oh, yes. He said, that was pretty cool. I was wondering why they weren't all sitting there doing this, you know. And I said, oh, no. It all gets taken the first night. I remember the first year I did it, though. I had kids hopping mad. And I looked at them and I said, are you mad? And some said, yeah. And I said, I don't care. Don't care. You're up here. Your parents paid good money to bring you up here, to leave you on this mountain so you could get closer to Jesus, not stay connected to your Facebook, your Instagram, or whatever. You need to fall in love with Jesus all over again, and you're not going to do that if you're distracted. So we take it away. And they don't run away. They never lit the camp on fire. Here's another one, and this is just another idea of something you can do or not have technology during, is date night. How many of you guys have daughters? Men, how many of you guys have daughters? Date your daughter. Date your daughter. Take her on dates. Show her how a man is supposed to treat her, because if she doesn't see how a man's supposed to treat her, guess what's going to happen? The first little chump that comes along and is like, oh, you got beautiful eyes. She's going to be like, oh, and he's going to be a total jerk. Okay, number two on D, deepen. So create these tech-free zones, by the way, and disconnect. You're just finding times to turn off the media, okay? By the way, my wife went to dinner at Chick-fil-A, I was told, here in Chino Hills, and they were telling me something. The kids were all excited. If mom left her cell phone somewhere, they got free ice cream or something like that. I don't know if that's true. Honey, is that true? Is that what you guys did? Yeah, she's shaking her head, and now she's hiding. But so even restaurants are kind of getting in on this, like, hey, this is a good idea. Maybe we could get people to put their phones down and actually talk. Okay, number two, deepen internal values. This, I mean, and again, this is like shotgun, like machine gun sort of ideas and stuff. I could spend weeks doing this, okay, and you would never come back. There'd be a lot less of you here than there are. So deepen internal values. Aim for the heart. And I want to tell you this, that over the years, what I've seen is when you aim for the extremities, you're not going to get anything. So if your kid does something foolish, for example, you know, they cuss, and you're like, oh my gosh, you cussed, and you start talking about cussing and how horrible cussing is and all that stuff. Do you realize that cuss word is an indication of something greater, a greater problem? Or if it's the music they want to listen to, or it's the things that they want to watch, or the friends that they want to hang out with, you can say, you're not allowed to hang out with anybody. You're not allowed to look at TV. You can't even think the word TV. I'm going to lock you in your room. You know, you can do all that. And they could say, on the outside, I'm sitting down, but on the inside, I'm standing up. The heart is the issue. You got to go for the heart. So Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. That what you're seeing is an indication of what's going on in the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? So read the Bible together. I'm not even going to ask. How many of you read the Bible together as a family? It's hard. I know it's hard. But we do it. We've got to do it. We've got to do it. We've got to read the Bible together as a family. Dads, this is our responsibility. We got to do it. I'm not shaming you. So many years ago, I was up at a camp. Joey Brand came up and he taught us at the camp. And he talked about being taken out as a dad. And he said, so be it. My kids are ready. That's what he said. My kids are ready. His kids were like 7 and 8 at the time. My kids were like 2 and 3, maybe a little bit older. And I thought to myself, man, if I don't teach my kids, I'm teaching your kids. If I don't teach my kids, what kind of dad am I? They'll grow up and despise the church. They'll despise this place because I gave everybody else and not them. So I make sure to give to them. I always tell the other kids, look, you don't hear nothing. My kids hear all the way home, all the way here, at home, you know. And they hear it here. So read the Bible together as a family. Start by redeeming the time. You know, we lose time with social media, but we can redeem time. You know what the word redeem means? To buy back. We can buy it back. Ephesians 5:15 to 16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Are the days evil? Oh my goodness. I mean, I won't even go into it. I could sidetrack and go on about how evil our world is for an hour. But be transformed, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. Do you think that our children can spend 9 hours a day on their social media and not be conformed to this world and spend 2 to 3 minutes in their Bibles? There's no way. They're being conformed. Society is being conformed. And that is an outward pressure to be like everyone else. Why are students' attitudes and their minds changing about the social issues? When I say social issues, that are biblical issues, when God says marriage is between a man and a woman, and kids growing up in the church are confused, it's because they're getting more influence from the world, and they're confused. They need you to help them see the truth so they won't be taken captive by vain and hollow philosophies. Because they're going to get this on the college campus. The college campus, I'm convinced, is more of a brainwashing institution than it is anything else. Now, there's some great colleges out there, but many of them are simply nothing more than brainwashing, conditioning to think and be like everybody else. And we need them transformed from the inside out. The next is guard your mind. Guard your mind, Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on those things. There's a lot of great, good, wholesome stuff out there. We've got to find it. We've got to find it. Rather than just mindless, look, I love watching people fall down and get messed up on YouTube. It's funny, you know. It's this guy's like, hey, I can do this, you know, and he's, you know. It's like America's Funniest Home Videos at your fingertips all the time, right? Who doesn't like to watch America's Funniest Home Videos? Because we've all had many similar experiences in our lives, right? Oh, I remember that one time Uncle Steve, he fell, and man, did he smack his head, you know. Almost died, but he's okay, and now it's funny. And we made a whole lot of money on America's Funniest Home Videos, right? Next, guard your eyes. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. You got to teach your kids this so that if something wicked comes on, they can turn away or they can guard their eyes. They can guard their mind. They can guard their eyes. Spend quality time together as a family. Quality and quantity. Quality and quantity. I've spoken to many youth who tell me their parents simply don't have time for them. They're too busy working. Now, I don't know why the parents are working. I don't know if it's, you know, to buy more stuff or if it's just to pay the bills, you know, and you've fallen on hard times. I don't know. I don't need to know. It's not my business. It's between you and the Lord. But I know that the students are missing out. They're missing their family. They're missing their mom and dad. And don't think, well, they're 16, 17, 18. They don't need me anymore. They need you more now than they did when they were younger. They need you. Get to know your children. Talk to your children. Play games with them. Play board games. Play video games. I don't like video games. I've had parents tell me that. I don't like that game. I don't care. Get over it. Play it. Stop making life about you. Make it about your kid. There's game. My kid might be like, oh, I don't like this game. I'm like, that game's so stupid. But I'm going to sit down and see why they like it. Maybe I'm going to play with it with them for a few minutes. Because you know what? At the end of the day, what they're going to remember is my dad spent time with me. He didn't think what I thought was stupid. Because, you know, we have all grown up, and to some degree, we've been told, I don't have time, I'm too tired, or whatever. You remember what that was like as a child to be told that. And if you're a grandparent, you can also invest in your grandkids. Maybe mom and dad is too tired or, you know, too busy for them, then you pick up. Take them and give them those spiritual things. You know, I used to be in children's ministry a number of years ago, and I remember all the grandparents bringing their kids to church, aunts and uncles bringing their nephews and their nieces to church, to just see them come to know Jesus, and they were spending time with them. But get to know them. Do what they like to do. None of us was born knowing what to say or do, by the way. You might be a dad in here, a mom, and you're like, I don't know what to do. You know how many times I've said that to myself? I don't know what to do. Do something. Just do something. Even if you don't know, your kids are going, Dad, you're a dork. You look so stupid. And then you know what? They start laughing, and the next thing you know, they're, you know, we'll be in an elevator or something, no one's around, and I'll start dancing. And my kids are like, Dad, stop it. And I'm like, why? You don't like dancing, you know? I know it's a sin to dance, sorry. Some of the best parents I know, they have modeled for their children. But your children need you. They don't need a bigger house. They don't need more clothes. They don't need more toys. They need you. They need you. The last D is develop external boundaries. You have to help your children develop external boundaries. You need to learn. This is going to be the real technological part. Please don't get up and leave. Stay seated. If you got to go to the bathroom, I understand. Okay? Behold it. External boundaries. Learn how to set parental control on devices. Let me ask you a question. Would you give your kids, I asked you another question, or I asked you a question similar. Would you give your kids the ability to lock their door in their house, in their bedroom, lock their door, put their own lock on it, and you don't have a key to it? No way! Do you know how many parents give their kids phones and let them put their own lock on it? They need their privacy. Why don't you build them a little house out in the backyard and give them all their own stuff and give them their privacy, you know? Because you know if it's in their bedroom, let's say they bring weed into your house. Oh, I got to let them have their privacy. It's California. No, you better believe that door's getting ripped off. Drug-sniffing dogs are coming out. I mean, there's ripping everything out. They're not going to have anything. And I know parents have done this. The door comes off. You get one. I knew dad, his kid got blue jeans and white T-shirts. It's like a little prison in the house. He was like, well, you don't appreciate the clothes I buy you. How about these? And then the kid was really upset. But you need to find out, okay? By the way, if it has a Wi-Fi connection, it can access porn. If it has a Wi-Fi connection, it can access porn. Most parents are clueless when it comes to Xbox, PlayStation, Wii, Blu-ray, DVD, etc. If you have to put a password in for your Wi-Fi, they can get porn. Why am I drawing that line? Because that's the one that you go, what? PlayStation? Yes, I've had parents come to me and go, I didn't know it's just a game system. I didn't know. I thought they were just going to go online and play other kids. No, they're going to go online and play other kids, and it's got its own web browser. So if it has a web browser, they can go and surf the web. Now, they all have parental controls. The Xbox has parental controls. By the way, you can even turn off the blood and the cussing on Call of Duty. Not only does it turn off the cussing, it even if it's subtitled on the bottom, the bad word is not there. You're like, I didn't know that. I've been listening to those cuss words in my house all this time, and I could have had it turned off. Yes. Well, here's the thing, too. You know, you wouldn't give your 16-year-old your car and not talk to them about how to drive it, right? See, we really take the time when it comes to something we think could threaten their lives, but when it doesn't threaten their life, we don't really think much about it. We just kind of go, oh, they can go out and drive the car, but first, make sure you wear your seatbelt. Make sure, you know, and we give them all, get a helmet, and here's a 5-point harness, and we're going to have a roll cage installed, and we're going to put a governor on there. You can't go over 5 miles an hour, and after 4 miles, the gas is going to cut off, and you know what I mean? Like, we go through all that, and then it's like, you know, we don't install these things on these devices that we have. By the way, Apple has an amazing set of parental controls on all of their devices. You can turn off Safari. It won't even show up as an app. You go into the parental controls. I mean, I have a video I could have showed you. I was like, I'm not going to go into all that. This is your job. You go find it. It's easy. Go on YouTube and you type in how to install parental controls. You look at your most recent iOS that you have updated on your phone, and there's a video out there that will tell you how to do it. I don't have Apple. I have whatever. It's going to be out there. They are all out there because people have developed this stuff for all these devices. You just simply need to go find it. There's alternative web browsers. By the way, much of this is in these things in the at-home room. We didn't necessarily hand them all out because now you got to walk into the at-home room and find it. And they look like this. Okay, so you will be able to find them. If you can't figure out how to do it, you can do what this mom did.
I hereby denounce the effects that social media have on my children, their disobedience and their disrespect.
Charlie.
Set her up.
I love that. I found that reading the news, just going through the news, you know, and these, you know, when a video goes viral, it's because so many people are watching it. And I was like, oh, I got to go see this. Now, if you don't have a gun, you're like, I'm a Christian, I don't have a gun. Then get a lockbox. You don't know how to set the parental controls? Get a lockbox. Okay, and all it is just you can go to Home Depot. I got a rigid box. It's for tools, and it locks, and it's solid. And no matter how much prying there might be, they can't get it out. And I put the device in there, and I put a padlock on it. Then I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. I'm not home, and they're playing on their game. Nope, test time. Give me the phones. They go in the box. Give me the phones. They get locked in my bedroom. Give me the phone. You know what I mean? Like at nighttime, where's all the devices? Make sure they're all put away, because some of them they're using for homework. Your kids are probably using them for homework too. Like, that's why I'm not condemning. You can't have any social, you know, electronic devices. You're in sin if you do. That's not reasonable. We need to show them how to use it. Talk to your kids about internet danger. The stranger danger.
But they're 17.
So what? So what? Some guy blew millions of dollars to somebody in a foreign country that was portraying this beautiful woman. Of course, the guy was haggard, like she would go out with him, but I don't know. He thought she would. She sucked him dry. If you just send me another $10,000, I need to get over there. And she just kept doing it until he didn't have any more money. You know, people aren't always who they say they are on the internet. And that's, we have this, oh, I saw it on the internet, it must be true kind of syndrome. We need to teach our kids not everything you see on the internet is true. You ever heard of Wikipedia? Look, when I ask students, how many of you guys do your homework, your research papers with Wikipedia? No. Have you guys ever read the disclaimer on Wikipedia? It's like, not everything on Wikipedia is true. There's a disclaimer, so you know. Because I could go on there and write whatever I want about George Washington. Right? We all believe the lie that George Washington chopped down a cherry tree when he was little, right? You know he didn't. He didn't. It was something that was used to teach kids to tell the truth. But we hear things and then we just go, oh, it must be true. So talk to them about the internet dangers. And then last, in wrapping up, I want you to avoid extremes. Please avoid extremes. Don't go like breaking it all, throwing it all away, but also don't just say, well, we'll just, you know, let it ride, you know? This isn't Vegas. Don't just let it ride. This is your kid's future. They need you. They need you to be mom and dad. No matter how much they might not like that, they need you to do it. You're not here to be their friend or their buddy. That friend parenting doesn't work. They need you to be their mom and dad. They want you to be their mom and dad. Truth be told, I've told students, look, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your youth pastor. But you know how many of them later on will tell me that they appreciated that? That I told them the truth even when they didn't want to hear it? Because I thought, what else do I have to give them? What am I going to lie to them, pat them on the back as they destroy their life? No, I tell them, you're destroying your life. And you don't have to. There's so much better of a life that you can be living in Christ. And so, you know, when they figure it out, they're like, wow, you're right. We need to teach them how so that when they move out, they won't go on technology overload. If you keep them home, you know, in the bubble syndrome, and then they go out, and I'm not saying you got to take them out there and expose them to everything. What I'm saying is you got to teach them how to use it. Just like you got to teach them the responsibility of a car, you have got to teach them the responsibility of technology. It's not going anywhere. The Bible even says in the latter days, knowledge will increase and they will run to and fro. I can FaceTime, I can Skype a missionary on the other side of the world. I can email people in correspondence, discipleship programs. There is tons of wonderful ministries online. So teach them how to use it properly. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. You have to teach him now. You have to model it. We're going to watch a video, and then I'm going to wrap up. They all lived happily ever after. So there's a few things that you guys can get from the resource room tonight. If you have teenagers, these are recipe cards. The recipe cards give you ideas on the back, as well as some of the younger children. There's tech tips. And on the back of these, there's ideas. There's also websites. So some of the ideas that I mentioned, these will help you find the websites that correspond with, like, for example, putting something on your computer that will monitor, you know, their website traffic and stuff like that. There's a family contract. So you remember what I said, don't freak out, don't shoot, ready, aim. Talk this over with your children. Help them see the problem and then work on the solution together. And this has all sorts of ideas inside that you can work on. And then one of the other things that I find often, and I think adults need this as much as kids, is what you actually post on your Facebook, what you actually post on your social media, what you're tweeting. Because what I find is oftentimes students post things, and then later on they're like, oh, I shouldn't have posted that, but it's too late. You know, once you say it, it's like the toothpaste is out of the tube, it's too late. By the way, colleges and jobs are now looking to social media before they hire people. So when they see stuff on there, you need to help your children understand this, that it's out there. Even though they delete it, it's not deleted. It's still out there somewhere in cyber world. So here's a social media checklist. When I tweet, text, or post, and it has a list of questions that you could ask before you do something. Am I seeking approval or attention? Is this making my own name great or making God's name great? So there's some great questions on here. And then there's a commitment on the back that your kids can sign. And then last, there's this trifold bulletin here with all sorts of ideas and some of the things that I discussed with you tonight. And that's all located in the at-home room. Now, last, as we close in worship tonight, as the worship team comes out, I want to ask you guys to do me a favor. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. Because I really feel, as we've talked about this, I don't think the reason students have it and the reason it's probably out of control is it's probably out of control in our own lives. So first tonight, as I talked about identifying the problem, first we need to identify, is this a problem in my own life? And if it is, if it's a problem in your life and you realize tonight, man, I spend way too much time on social media or on the internet and it's not job related. It's just, you know, an hour goes by and I didn't even realize it and I'm not doing anything productive. And I'm not saying that there's not a time and place for just, you know, the mind melt, you know, I just need to veg for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever. I'm not talking about watching a TV show. I'm just talking about on an average daily basis, if you didn't pull your phone out of your pocket every few minutes, you'd feel weird. Tonight, if you just want to just say, Lord, that's me. And I want Shadrach, I want you to pray for me. I want you to just raise up your hand. Okay. God bless you. Wow, hands up all over the place. It's okay, don't be afraid. No one's looking around. It's just me and the worship team and the Lord and everybody. No, I'm kidding. Thank you for being honest. You know what I can respect is honest people. Not those people that worship God with their lips and their heart is far from him. But just that honest, Lord, here I am. And I'll be honest, it was a problem for me. That's why I turned it off. Lord, you see these hands. More importantly, you see the hearts. You see the hearts represented, and you know the homes. Lord, I pray that you would just bring healing in these homes right now, as these have raised their hand, that tonight they would put a plan in place for themselves so that they can enact with their kids or their families. And maybe they don't have kids yet. Maybe this is just something they're going to have to think about, because I can't imagine what the world will be like in 5 more years. So, Lord, I pray that they would just surrender completely to you. May the homes in this church, Lord, be the most God-centered, the most God-fearing. People that are reading the Bible together as a family. Moms and dads that are getting up and setting the example. Kids that are excited and have a passion for your word. That, Lord, we wouldn't get sucked into this world along with the tide. That we wouldn't be conformed, but we would be transformed daily by the renewing of our minds. Father, we surrender ourselves to you tonight. Lord, we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.